But I do want to first start out and just say, thinking about our quarterback, went out today again, as he has for most of the 2023 season, played the quarterback position as well as anybody in our league, and just continued to build and build and build. We are fearing currently he's being evaluated and will be into tomorrow. We are fearing an Achilles injury. The severity of that, I do not know at this point, but I know that's what our fear is in the moment, and we'll confirm that as soon as possible.
That's Kevin O'Connell, Vikings coach, after Sunday's 24-10 win over the Green Bay Packers. Look, it's torn. It's torn. They know it's torn.
Yeah.
The MRI is just check the box formality.
We knew it was torn.
We saw it. I didn't notice it when it happened because we're watching a bunch of games at once. At one point, I see Kirk Cousins hobbling to the sideline, wondering what happened. Is it an ankle or what? But you can see the see the movement of the leg. You can see the snapping of the band,
right?
A rubber band that just breaks.
Right.
So, and he knew it right away.
Yes, he did.
And it's just a damn shame for him because he had been playing the best football, not of his time with the Vikings, of his entire career.
Yeah.
That's what's so heartbreaking about it. But it's an older player injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's 35. He takes a lot of pounding. He plays through a lot. And it finally happened. And it's a damn shame because he really was playing well. And, before he goes off on the card, he's rooting for the offense. Watch him. He's rooting for
offense
to try to score.
Him.
He's supporting his team.
He's a team player, man.
And
he's a good leader.
And I felt like at times yesterday, especially after he was out, because Jaren Hall comes in cold. He's the rookie from BYU, fifth-round pick, 6 foot.
Tough spot.
Yeah, and the defense kept stepping up.
Yeah.
The defense kept making plays. The defense is starting to turn a corner with Brian Flores.
Definitely.
So this team is now 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
After being 1-4, they've beaten the Bears, then the 49ers, and now the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. And I know the Packers aren't great this year, but it's still going into Lambeau Field and beat
exactly
the Green
Bay
Packers.
Desperate
not an easy thing to do.
Situation for them, right.
So what do you do? O'Connell did not commit to Jaren Hall as the starter after the game. Nick Mullins has one more game on injured reserve with a back injury before he's eligible to return. Sean Mannion is on the practice squad. Yesterday I was told Colt McCoy is a name to watch because he came in for a workout recently. They signed Mannion to the practice squad instead. But McCoy has 3 years with O'Connell in Washington. 17 when O'Connell was the quarterback's coach.
Right.
18, O'Connell was the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator. 19, he was the offensive coordinator. 3 years with Colt McCoy and Kevin O'Connell. Because you need somebody who knows the offense. You can't just grab a quarterback and say, we're going to coach him up and get him ready to go on Sunday at Atlanta.
Right.
That's a huge game.
Yeah. No, and again, it's, there's Kevin O'Connell, that offense, they got a lot of things that they put on the quarterback. That's why he loves Kirk Cousins so much. Kirk Cousins able to digest all of that and apply it to the football field and dice up defenses. I don't care what they do. They get Colt McCoy. They trade Ryan Tannehill. Whoever you want to throw out there.
He's got a bad ankle, too.
I know, right. But whoever you want to throw out there, for everybody to think, oh, well, they'll just get him in the lineup and, they'll continue to be a dangerous offense. Absolutely not. Kirk Cousins is the Vikings here. I mean, the defense isn't great. You don't run the ball that well. It's all about O'Connell and him coming up with pass game plans and dicing people up that way. That's where it's a shame. He was phenomenal yesterday. He really was. He was great. I said last week, Mike, I can't remember if I said it to you or on the podcast, but I had more confidence in the Vikings making a run in the playoffs this year at 3-4 than I did last year when they were sitting there 9-1.
Because my son and I were talking about it Thursday night.
Yeah. Oh, because, so I did tell you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Because their defense is better.
Exactly.
And their offense seems better.
He's figured out the offense.
And
perfectly.
You got Jordan Addison to go along with Justin Jefferson, who's coming back at some point.
Exactly.
And he's figured out the offense, and it's hit the sweet spot. And he's got the same guy talking to him in his helmet.
Right.
It made a lot of sense, and how quickly it just disappears. And there's never a good time for it to happen, but and there's not. This is a horrible time. This isn't like, well, if it would have happened week 15 going into the playoffs, you're just done at that point. Right now, they got to figure out what to do, and there is no good option. And part of the problem is they're processing all of it. 100 times worse, 1,000 times worse, 10,000 times worse than us. They're trying to deal with the grief that you're going to feel when you've got a quarterback who they believe is playing the best football of his career, is done for the year. They feel horrible for him. And at the same time, you got.
Oh, it's tough.
Next train's coming down the tracks.
Yeah, the psychological
6 days to a trip to Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah, and I just don't know what you do. Is it Sean Mannion? I don't know. Do you bring in Colt McCoy? I don't know. Do you trade for somebody? Well, you got until 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
That's where it really hurts them that Nick Mullins on IR and just not able to play. At least he could feel like, hey, he could be a guy that, you know, would be ready, be able to run the offense against Atlanta and give you a fighting chance.
Is there anybody out there you would try to trade for?
I mean, nobody pops to my head off, you know, just off the top of it here thinking about it. You know, but I don't think there's anybody out there that, like, we're looking for, like, the magic bullet or whatever here that's, oh, wait, there's that guy. They should make the move, right? I mean, like, you know, teams are going to bring up people maybe like Drew Lock, and I want to go, well, yeah, but Seattle's not going to throw their season away to go, oh, hey, Vikings, your quarterback's hurt? Here, you know, here's our good backup. So, you know, and if our quarterback is hurt, now we're screwed, right? So that's not going to happen.
And one thing the Vikings found out 2016 when Teddy Bridgewater suffered the horrible knee injury late August, they put their thumbs on the scale when you come sniffing around for a quarterback.
Right.
They had to give up a 1 and a 4 to the Eagles to get Sam Bradford. Even though it's a different regime, there's enough similarity, it's the same ownership. You know, I mean, this is a group that I was told yesterday they've decided, and we're not trading Danielle Hunter unless we get blown away because we got a team that can win.
Yeah.
Why would we do it?
Right.
The guy's great. We got a team that's competitive this year. And now you have to completely reconfigure your thought process while the clock ticks toward the trade deadline. If you're ever going to trade for anyone, you're going to do it now. There's not enough time to, I think, do it meaningfully. You know, when they asked me last night what I would try to get Tom Brady to come out of retirement for half a season. And I'm not completely kidding.
I know you're not.
I'm more serious than I am
kidding. Yesterday, I tried to block it out of my brain when I heard you say
it. But, I mean, think about it. Think about it. O'Connell and Brady were teammates at one point in New England.
Right.
Brady's mom is from Minnesota. He used to spend extended stretches of time in the summer in Minnesota.
Right.
And not that the Vikings – I just allow yourself, folks, to think what it would look like right now.
Yeah.
With Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, K.J. Osborne, the offensive line is doing a pretty good job of
buying
time. Yeah,
they're pass protecting pretty good, right.
Tom Brady's still got his arm. Still in shape, half a season, and what the hell? What the hell? Come back and do it. I mean, it all depends upon what he's thinking 2 months into football season proceeding without him. This is the opportunity.
He seems like he ain't thinking about much of football when I follow his life right now.
I know. Yeah, but if there's any temptation, this is it. And if not, so be it. But other than him, There's nothing they can do.
There's no magic fix here. You're exactly right. I don't see
Colt McCoy is it.
Right. I mean, the other one that has been interesting that's been thrown out there is like Kyler Murray, right? But I go, well, the Packers aren't going to mortgage their future for Kyler Murray right now at this moment.
I wish the Packers were the ones
who
were having to deal with
that
issue.
And mortgage their future for Kyler Murray, who's just coming off injury and all of that. So that's not going
to
happen.
It's too much of a decision to make. It's too much to do. You're going to have to give up multiple first round picks
or whatever
it is. You're going to stare down and posture and negotiate. You got a day and a half.
Yes.
You don't have time to do it.
No, I don't think it's happening either. I feel bad for the Vikings. Like you said, Kirk Cousins was on fire. He played great yesterday. That was really domination of throughout. I mean, the game shouldn't even have been 24-10, really. And hey, to flip this over to the other side just real quick, Mike, because hey, we're all feeling for you, Kirk Cousins. You're the man. You're having a great year, and I'm really sorry for your injury. I really am. You were really playing as good as I've ever seen you. That's for sure. But the Packers, right? Jordan Love, that's getting to an interesting point here. And again, I'm not one. I know how hard it is to play quarterback in the NFL. I tried to play, and I wasn't that damn good at it. It's hard. It is. But it's week 8, right? it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction with Jordan Love. It doesn't have a great look. They can't run the ball, and they're trying to manage him at the same time and trying to put him in positions of success. But within doing that, not doing a whole lot on the offensive side of the bar, being complex there. And, yeah, I mean, again, they just got no offense to speak of on a consistent basis. Your Vikings defense did a good job. You know, they got the one interception off of Jordan Love by Metellus, which was actually an unbelievable interception, not a bad throw by Jordan Love. But the inconsistencies of the Packer offense, it's even more than I thought it would be. It really is. And I wonder with them, if they're going to start talking or getting Sean Clifford ready to go, hey, you might need to come in here if we go through another first half like we did yesterday where Jordan Love and the offense are that inept.
Peter King and I were talking about this on Friday, the limited time that quarterbacks now have to figure it out before they get thrown overboard.
Right.
This is Jordan Love's first year starting after 3 years of sitting on the bench, after being a first-round pick. I don't know how much you give him.
I know.
I don't know.
I know, no. It's a good question.
And this is one of those where there's no owner in Green Bay to get extra impatient.
Yeah.
They can kind of go along. This is our plan. We have a lot invested. Let's give this guy a chance. Let's give him, you know, another full off season as the guy. Let's put some pieces around him. Game's going to slow down. He's going to have more opportunities.
I just wonder if they're going to double down.
Like, I think they'll double down.
Because of, like, you know, because of what you're, we got rid of Rodgers for this guy and we traded up to get him in the first round and did all
and
those things.
And there's no owner there that can say
forget
no.
It. Exactly right.
This is our plan. It's like a corporate strategy. It's a mission statement. We took all this time to make it. Damn it, we're going to stick with it for now.
That's where I worry about them there in that scenario. And it might be too early. I'm just bringing it out there that even though it's week seven games in and it is year four for him, and I know he didn't play for 3 years, it looks worse than it should when you lay out that scenario. That's all I'm saying. Jordan Love has some physical abilities I like, but, you know, the throwing and the decision-making is a little all over the place, and that's leading to a Green Bay offense that scares nobody in football.
I think they need more evidence before they make a change.
Yeah.
Because what if they would and he would go somewhere else and be great? I just think they need to be patient with him. And we've seen this with other quarterbacks. Sometimes that little extra time is all that it needs. You don't get 5 years anymore like Terry Bradshaw did. It would be nice to get three. Sometimes you don't even get that. Sometimes you don't get two. Trey Lance didn't even get – he got two.
Yeah.
And they decided we're moving on from him in San Francisco. All right. Let's take a break. Superlatives time for week eight when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this. Spooky music. Spooky music.
Whoa.
There he is, the best Halloween costume you'll see. The little kid sprinting away, Mike McDaniel style, looking at the camera.
Look
little
at the
smile,
big watch he's got
and
on.
Off he goes.
Damn.
Off he goes.
He's
that
faster
is awesome.
Than Mike McDaniel. He's
that
way
is awesome.
Faster.
Well done.
That really is. What a cute kid, too.
Well done, parents of the kid. Who said, hey, we got an idea for you, Jimmy. This is what you're going to be for Halloween. But I like it. I love it. It's great. I can't tell how old the kid is, but I'm sure the kid didn't think of it. I'm sure it's one of those things
the
parents thought of.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, but
right?
I think it's great. I think it's awesome. Well done.
Mike McDaniel having an effect on all of Miami.
Do you still
dress up?
Do a Halloween thing?
I don't. You know, like where I live in Greenwich, Connecticut, the houses are very spread apart, right? And people don't really trick-or-treat. We decorate our house. I mean, we really get into it, but it's not a trick-or-treat house in our area. Like, my kids will go to another part of town where the houses are a little close together, and they'll rack it up there. And no, I haven't dressed up in a long time.
I've never gone to, like, an adult Halloween party where you have to get dressed up. Like, I refuse to do it. Not that I've been invited to many, but I have no desire.
Why would you refuse to do it?
Because I have no desire to go through the extra stress of everything else I have going on in my life, worrying about what my costume's going to be, where I'm going to get it, what I'm going to do with it when I'm done.
So stressful.
I just don't like it.
Yeah, you'd make
take
a nice
candy.
Count Dracula. You'd look good as him. You should do that.
All right, Frankenstein. All you need is the bolts in your neck.
I know.
You got the head for it.
I do. I got
the same forehead. Yeah. All right. Maybe next year. Frankenstein and Dracula hanging out talking about football on the Monday of Halloween week. All right, superlatives time. What do you got?
The future is now. That's right. The future is now, and that is specifically to the Tennessee Titans and what we saw from Will Levis yesterday. I mean, come on. You kidding me? First game ever, starting quarterback, playing the Atlanta Falcons, a top 10 defense in football, and you throw four touchdown passes, and not like I threw a screen and the guy ran 60 yards. Like, hey, I'm pumping and throwing a 50-yard ball in the air to DeAndre Hopkins. That was offensive pass interference, first off. This has to stop in the NFL. It has to stop. The referees have to start calling offensive pass interference. He bear-hugged the guy and headlocked him and then got open. But nonetheless, good throw by Will Levis. Here again, on the money to Hopkins, shallow cross, accurate throw to keep him running keep him running after the catch. All right, 14-9. You kind of felt like, ooh, is Atlanta going to come back in this one? They run a little double move, an in-cut and go. Levis lets it go, throws the ball high in those deep routes, lets guys run under it. And then his fourth touchdown, Mike, kind of running to the right, throws it back across the field to Westbrook Aquino, which was maybe my favorite one of the day. But hey, they got something here in Will Levis, and let's see where it goes. I would think they're looking at it going, wait, we're not going to the Super Bowl this year. Ryan Tannehill's hurt. No, I think they like Malik Willis, but I think the fact that they played him primarily through the game shows me that they like this guy more. And that's why I say the future is now.
I think they didn't like Malik Willis last year. I think Mike Vrabel didn't like him.
Right.
I think it was a John Robinson special.
Yeah, that's what I say, right.
But
he grew on him.
He grew on him because right. He busted his ass
worked
in the offseason.
Doing the right thing.
Showed up
right.
Leaner.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely improved
athletic,
his game. Right.
And was the number two guy. But now that they had that two-week period, and Levis told me after the game that the practices they had before their bye week break, it was a little rough. When he came back, got reps with the ones, started to click, and now they've got Thursday night at Pittsburgh. He told me that Mike Vrabel told them they had until the top of the hour to celebrate yesterday. So the game ends at 3:15 Central Time, and I'm talking to him 5 minutes to four, and he said, we've got 5 minutes to celebrate, and then it's focus fully on Pittsburgh. They got to go to Pittsburgh, and they may or may not have Kenny Pickett on Thursday night when the Steelers line up against the Titans. But Will Levis, they found something. And now, rest of this year should be, let's see what we can do with him.
I think so. That's right. See what he's got. Grow him, you know. See if you can, you know, go the rest of the year with him playing and him continuing to get better to where you can get to the offseason this year and go, man, we got something. And now we can build the rest of our team around him and fill in some other holes, which they need to do, as we know, in Tennessee. Vrabel's one of the best coaches in football. Big win by them yesterday.
And he doesn't carry that pressure of first-round pick.
Yeah.
They were going to take him,
right.
I think, 10th overall.
Right.
Peter Skoronski was there.
Yeah.
So they draft him. And then, lo and behold, Levis makes it all the way out of the round.
Right.
Titans straight up and get him. And after yesterday, so far, so good. All right, this is the You Probably Should Cover Tyreek Hill Award. We've seen this twice in a week now where they have two guys in position to cover him.
Yeah.
But there's no ultimate effort to cover him. We saw him run through bracketed coverage against the Eagles
right.
last Sunday night. And then Bill Belichick
does
and
it
the
again.
Patriots. Tyreek Hill zips right through there. Tyreek Hill doing Tyreek Hill things. And why do you not have somebody at the line of scrimmage disrupting him every single time, rerouting him, hitting him, just making it a little harder for him to get off the line of scrimmage? Because if you give this guy a free release, he's going to kill you. He's
yeah.
probably going to kill you anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But at least make it a little harder for him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I do think teams
look at that.
I mean, it's
he
it's
blew
unreal.
Right by like, and they know what's coming.
I know, you know, but you know, like you said, they teams get double coverage. I got him if he goes inside. I got him if he goes outside.
And nobody's
wait,
got him when he goes
got him
right
when
between
he goes
us.
Straight,
yeah.
right? And that's
yeah.
what we've kind of seen 2 weeks in a row here. You know, let alone they didn't cover Jaylen Waddle on a touchdown late in the football game, too. So maybe they should cover somebody there in New England. Miami, just too much talent for the Patriots. Patriots still self-inflicted wounds, right? Mac Jones, the game was in the balance still. Bad interception to Jalen Ramsey when they were in field goal range and driving down. That was a big moment. But I've never seen anything like Tyreek Hill in the NFL. I mean, he's special.
And, you know, there was that weird moment last week when Tua Tagovailoa suggested he was going to miss time. We'll get him back down the line, and we're like, oh my gosh, we're not going to have him this weekend. We're not going to have him in Germany when the Chiefs and the Dolphins get together. But he was back and as good as ever, and he's on pace to set the single season receiving yardage record, and AJ Brown's on pace to do it too.
It's amazing. It really, they're you know, as I said last week, I know Justin Jefferson's hurt right now. I think I caused a little bit of a ruckus online, but you know, you give me two receivers to take right now, right off the top of my head, I'm going with Tyreek Hill in the second. I'm going with AJ Brown. They're unstoppable. I don't care what the play is, what it is. They can do more than what's asked. They got physical abilities that just other receivers in football don't. Tyreek's is more based in speed. AJ's is more based in strength and power, but they're both phenomenal. All right, my next superlative, some badass cats. You know what they said? They said, put this kitty litter in your pasta and meatballs and eat it, all right?
I picked the Jaguars to win.
Yeah, they didn't believe it, all right? Jackson DeVille, he texted me. He said, hey, that asshole Florio, I think he still thinks the Steelers are going to win. But what really, I think you know this. I'm a believer in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and again, I know they're not perfect yet, and I think a lot of that is still because they're a very young football team on both sides of the ball, but I look at them and go, they're complete. I don't know. I don't look at one area.
Caught me in a yawn on camera. Sorry.
Good. Got him.
It's been
right?
A long week.
See,
go ahead.
That's where the Jags wanted to show you. But I look at the Jags and go, where's the weakness of the football team? Other than them maybe being young and stupid every now and then, right? But they – and that game yesterday it looked like for a while I was going, oh my gosh, they are kicking the crap out of the Steelers. And here we are, it's 9-3, and the Steelers are hanging around. How is that possible? You know, and the Jags still can be a little loose with the ball at times. Trevor had a bad interception when they were down there close inside the 10-yard line and threw it in the end zone, right? Bigsby fumbled another time as they were driving the rookie running back. So they made some mistakes, but I still look at them and go, man, that defense has got talent across the board. ATN is one of the best running backs in the game. Trevor Lawrence continues to get better and better. I mean, and they can do it any way they want. And we're seeing the receivers on a weekly basis have a consistent output of production too. You know, Evan Ingram is one of the best tight ends of football. ATN, run game, pass game, phenomenal. We saw Calvin Ridley yesterday. They're spreading the ball around. I think the Jaguars are up there with the top teams in football. I have no problem with saying that. I don't look at an area of their team and go, oh, if they play this kind of team, they're going to be outmatched. They have it all. I think it's just still about, you know, stupid mistakes, being a little smarter, and, you know, learning how to play battle-tested football. I forgot they had the other turnover. Evan Ingram, what are they, inside the 12 or 15-yard line? He catches the shovel pass and gets hit and fumbles too. But your Steelers tried to hit it into existence, but they couldn't overcome the talent of the Jags.
But it did feel like another one of those games,
right,
where the offense is horrible, yeah, the defense is great, circumstances happen in a way that the Steelers outscore the opponent. It didn't help that Kenny Pickett got injured and left the game, and Mitch Trubisky had to come in, and there's concern he may miss Thursday night's game against the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis. Jaguars entering their bye week.
Yeah.
When they come out of their bye,
yeah,
49ers
come
to town.
Jeez.
What a game.
What a game.
What a
game. So both teams are coming off the bye in Jacksonville. That is a game.
Kind of like a Super Bowl.
Holy cow.
2 weeks to get ready for it.
Hey, I
1 o'clock Eastern kickoff.
I think the Jaguars are Super Bowl caliber. I do. I'm just going to put that out there right now. I mean, again, we saw last year, Christian Kirk catches a post route late in the Chiefs game. It's going to be a nail biter where you're going, oh my gosh, they're going to pull off the upset against the Kansas City Chiefs. They can make a run in the playoffs. There's no team I look at in the AFC where I go, ooh, if they match up with them, that's bad. You know, they have built a great roster, and Doug Peterson's got them believing there.
My next one is the best player no one's talking about.
Oh.
Award, and that is Saints receiver.
Good for you.
Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah.
Who kind of had a stat line that reminded me
of Randy.
Of Randy Moss 25 years ago.
Yeah, right.
3 catches, 153 yards, 1 touchdown. The big difference is it wasn't 3 touchdowns, just 1. But 3 for 153, are you kidding me?
No.
He caught the long touchdown pass from Derek Carr. There's another long gain from Carr. And then that weird play,
where it looked like he got stripped.
Interception. And then they gave him the catch. The ruling on the field was interception. And after further review, they called it a catch. That was a throw from Taysom Hill, I believe, a 44-yarder.
Right.
So this guy just keeps showing up. And
how
he
can
keeps
they call
it
a catch if you haven't gotten done, finished surviving the ground? right? The catch is not complete if nobody's there until you survive the ground.
He didn't even survive the ground. I know.
And the guy took it out of his hands. See, that's where there's a little loophole in that, and they need to fix that language.
You've got to keep possession of the ball through the act of going to the ground. Right. And if you don't – so here's your point, and I like this.
Yeah.
If the rule is you must maintain possession through the act of going to the ground, but somehow you have surrendered possession because it's simultaneous possession with the defensive back, how have you kept possession?
So now we're just giving it – you have two hands on the ball and the knee is down and all of a sudden you got possession? So we're going to change the basis of the rule?
I think it's two conflicting rules.
I'm onto something here.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
What would the end result be? Incompletion?
Well, yeah, or that should have been an interception. Either way, the ball didn't hit the ground.
Right, the ball didn't hit the ground. Right. Somebody got that ball.
Somebody got the ball. Right. That was one of the weird plays of the day yesterday. It's a loophole in how the NFL is calling that right now, and they need to figure that out. That should have been an interception. That was a big moment of the game. But to your point – Rashid Shaheed is special.
Yeah.
I mean, it's every week we watch him go running by defenses on big plays. He's the best receiver on that football team. He's the best weapon they have on that football team. And, you know, that was the first time I looked at the Saints and went, that's what I expected their offense to look like. Running the ball, physical. Derek Carr got out of the dink and dunk crap and took some shots down the football field. And that was the first time all year I went, they kind of potentially looked the way I thought they would look, and maybe they can build something from there.
And they had the cameras on him all day. And
oh,
he was
everybody.
His best behavior.
Everybody wanted to.
There was no, what are you doing, and facial expressions and gestures and whatnot. All right, do we have time for one more each real quickly? How about, yeah, go ahead.
Well,
give me one more.
I'm going to go to, you know, the Seattle, the four quarters of chewing gum, okay? It's just Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks. They don't ever give up. They jump out to an early lead in the football game. Defense makes a few turnovers. Geno's on fire. But, I mean, after early second quarter, the Browns absolutely controlled the football game. I mean, the Seahawks couldn't do jack diddly squat. They really couldn't. The Browns were all over everything, even though the Seahawks looked awesome in those uniforms. But they hang around. They hang in there. Their defense makes a ton of stops. And then it becomes this play. Third and three with a three-point lead. And the Cleveland Browns try to jam a slant over the middle, which was going to be dicey if it doesn't get tipped in the air. Interception, short field for the Seahawks. Seahawks didn't do anything since the end of the first quarter. And they're in the biggest moment. Five-play, 57-yard drive by Geno Smith. Seahawks 5-2, and you know it's never perfect by the Seahawks. They continue to get better, but I think the thing, this is what I like about the Seahawks, and I think you feel the same way as I do. You know, they're not a perfect machine, but they play hard. Their coach is a psycho. They replicate that, and they got playmakers on both sides of the ball. So even though sometimes I go, oh, I wish their offense had a little more creativity. Ooh, I wish their defense was a hair more sound. You break it down. You go, Ben, the guys they got on offense can change games. And then they got some guys on defense, you know, whether that's Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen, you know, Jordan
Reek.
Brooks.
It's Reek now.
Reek?
It's Reek.
Reek. Okay, sorry about that. Reek Woolen. You talk about that. They got guys, again, like we talk about, that can go above and beyond what the play has asked, and that's where they're dangerous.
They're 5-1 since losing week one somehow to the Rams.
Yeah.
So they're in first place in the NFC West.
Crazy, right?
And remember, starting Thanksgiving night on NBC and Peacock,
gauntlet.
49ers, Cowboys, 49ers, Eagles. That's the Seahawks. Four games. We'll learn a lot about them then. Right, last one for me. Simmer down, David Tepper. You finally got your win with Bryce Young. You got your win with the guy that you took over, C.J. Stroud. And we know it was you. We know it was you. You can. I'm not going to say
we know it was
we
you.
We know it was you, David, and that's okay.
You broke my heart.
You can do Fredo. You can do whatever you want with your football team, but we know that you wanted Bryce Young, and
big
for one
right
day,
there.
It finally worked. Adam Thielen with a big game, Eddie Pinheiro with the game-winning field goal, and the Panthers get their first win of the season. It's great. The piggyback
riding the
ride
bull.
Celebration.
Yeehaw!
Congratulations, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And bad loss for the Texans, who were very much in the thick of things.
Right.
And now they're going to have some work to do anyway, but that's a game they should have won.
Yeah, well, it felt like it. But, you know, we know the NFL, Carolina off a bye week, desperation. I think the Bryce Young, wait, we want to make sure we look like we made the right pick there. All of that, I think helped out Carolina. Houston, a young team, still learning how to kind of handle success. Carolina's defense is real. So they're a pain in the butt, and you saw that yesterday. Houston couldn't really get anything going in the run game or the pass game throughout. Carolina's offense wasn't anything special, but Bryce Young, he definitely outdueled C.J. Stroud yesterday. He made some of the more eye-popping plays and throws. It wasn't pretty, but the last drive of the game was really, I mean, a 6-minute, 20-second drive, 15 plays, 86 yards to close out the game when you were down by a point. That was clutch right there, and Bryce Young made a few clutch plays down the stretch to solidify the win.
Making the most of their bye week in this shift to Thomas Brown as the play caller. Frank Reich
giving that
up, and it's worked. So far, so good, and it's something they can use to try to build on. Let's take a break. When we return, fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, Rams, PFT Live, back after this.
And it wasn't pretty at all. Now, this is the National Football League, and it's tough to win games. We came into it a road game and ended up winning. But we have a lot of work to do to make sure that we're continuing to climb.
Hey, Nick, I wanted your hoodie from last week. I don't want it. You can keep that one. This is the one. You should wear this everywhere. You should wear it every game, every practice, wear it to bed, wear it in the shower. You should wear it all the time. This thing is awesome. Somebody said I should have gotten a large. I don't know. I like XL. I like having some room here.
It's a little baggy on you, but yeah, I think you're okay.
But that's what a hoodie's supposed
to be. It's supposed to be. You're right. It's supposed to be comfortable. You're right. And yeah, like you don't know. Like it's getting cold. You might put something underneath that that's a little thicker. You need it to fit, right? So I hear you. You're okay. You look good. I'd tell you if you look like a fool, right? Most days you look like a fool. Today you look okay.
I know. Thank you. Well, I'll just wear this every day.
You're wearing the Howie Roseman pants today too.
No, these fit.
Oh, these one fit.
These
okay,
fit.
Okay,
these
good.
Fit.
All right, good. He bought some new pants. Look at this.
No, I just have a pair.
Found some older ones.
Yeah. All right, Eagles defeat the Commanders 38-31. The Eagles are now 7-1. Jalen Hurts 4 touchdowns. Still looks a little off. Jay Glazer reported that it's a knee bruise, a bone bruise. He's been dealing with it for 4 weeks. They haven't put him on the injury report. I just think that's stubbornness. I really do.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows he's injured at this point. He's working his way through it. It helps to have A.J. Brown. We talked about him earlier. Incredible.
He's a
first
beast.
Guy ever to have 6 games in a row of 125 or more receiving yards. Incredible. I think he's on pace to set the single season record as well.
He is.
Both
he and
Tyreek Hill. Right. You start cracking up 125 a game. You do 6 straight games and 125 a game. Yeah, you're on pace to break every record.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. I mean, it's just, one, he can get open and separate, but when he doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's like just throw him the ball anyways. The body control, the strength, everything about him, to me, is it's unmatched. He really is. I like I said earlier, I think he and Tyreek and Justin Jefferson, when he's healthy, are kind of in a class of their own. I do. I think they know how to use the system to help themselves. They're smart. They read coverages. And then they have the physical ability to kind of do whatever they want on the football field. The Eagles, continue to, the one thing, and Jason Garrett said this last night, and I thought it was a really good point, compared to the 49ers. The Eagles show different ways of being able to win the game, right? The 49ers have kind of showed us like McCaffrey, and they can't run the ball and do that and play from ahead a little bit. I don't know. They don't look their best. The Eagles, it just doesn't matter. They went down 14-3 in this football game, and they were making mistakes. And Washington, for whatever reason, plays their best against the Eagles and then plays below average against everybody else. Sam Howell came out on fire. The Eagles were making mistakes, right? Kenneth Gainwell fumbled once inside the 5-yard line. They fumbled the tush push. Unfumbled the snap as they were going in to score one time, and Washington recovered that. So they make mistakes, but they're so damn good, and they make so many big plays on both sides of the ball. It does not even matter. And here they are, the Eagles. We are good. The whole year we've been going, they don't look their best. They don't look like last year, and they're clearly stating they're still the best team in football.
I said last night when we did our recap that
I
think back to draft day 2022 and Mike Vrabel and the
Oh, the old neck.
The neck thing. Yeah.
His brain's still short-circuiting from that.
Like, what were they thinking?
What were they thinking? I don't know. They got too cute for their own good.
You draft a guy, and he develops into a great player. The whole idea of the draft is that each player you take is a lottery ticket you hope becomes a winner. When it becomes a winner, you know, the difference is the player gets the jackpot. You have to pay out the jackpot, but you want to pay out the jackpot. You got to pay out the money anyway.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was funny last week when Nick Sirianni said he thanked Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie for the $100 million to sign A.J. Brown. The money's going to go to somebody anyway. It's just a question of who it goes to. Yeah. You have to spend it.
Right.
And the Titans made the decision, instead of spending it on A.J. Brown, they would just trade him for a first-round pick that they used for Treylon Burks to be the replacement for A.J. Brown. Why, when you have a guy that's already proven what he can do, and he's been even better in Philadelphia, and the Eagles, despite the fact that they haven't looked great most of the year, they keep winning. And they looked great yesterday. And all that matters is at least one more point than the other team. And here they are with the best record in football through 8 weeks. They're at 7-1, and no one else has, only one loss.
Yeah, they make plays in the big moments. You know, and when it's a big moment, the Eagles come through. That's the one. Really, I feel like that's been the story, you know, for 2 years running here, other than the Super Bowl, where Kansas City was like, wait, it's big moments. We make big plays, too. We're kind of that team. Sam Howell was phenomenal yesterday. I mean, they were dicing up the Eagles' defense. I mean, at one point, I think Sam Howell was like 20 for 21 or 19 for 20 or something like that. I mean, they were having their way. But as the game went on and Philly keeps hanging in there and they hang and hang and hang, right? Here's some of the highlights. I mean, they came out throwing the ball. There goes Terry McLaurin behind Bradbury, touchdown. They ran the ball well early. They got the ball to Jahan Dotson. I think that's what's coming here, right? Howell looked great. Everything was on the up and up. I mean, they really were. They were playing phenomenal. They were protecting better than I've seen them protect all year. But as the game went on and the Eagles continue to hang around and keep the pressure on you, what happens? Oh, now you try to force a ball, right? He throws an interception that was bad to Blankenship. He missed a few throws on a drive to tie the game on a fourth down. You know, late in the football game, here was kind of a garbage time late touchdown. The Eagles just got too much firepower on both sides of the ball. Hurts is phenomenal. If they don't run the ball at their best, Hurts and the passing game have gotten to a spot here where they go, well, we can throw for 340 and four touchdowns. It's no big deal. And then the defense is going to find a moment to make a big play.
I mentioned earlier that this week with all teams playing.
Yeah.
There were only two games involving both teams over 500.
Right.
Next Sunday, get your rest this week, folks.
Yeah.
Because it starts at 9:30 in the morning.
I know.
With the 6-2 Dolphins and the 6-2 Chiefs from Germany.
Right.
Then at 1:00, it's the 5-2 Seahawks at the 6-2 Ravens.
Yikes.
Then at 4:25 Eastern, it's the 5-2 Cowboys at the 7-1 Eagles.
Wow, I didn't even realize that was coming up.
But there's more. Primetime next week, the 5-3 Bills at the 4-3 Bengals.
Woo!
Get ready.
I'm excited.
Get your rest.
Yep.
Eat all your Halloween candy. Get it out of your system.
Or save some of it for Sunday.
Well, right, but you don't want to go into a post Halloween candy sugar.
Comatose?
Yeah, you don't want that. You want to be able to lock in from 9:30 a.m. until 11:30 at night. That's 14 hours next week. That's a great Sunday.
Damn good.
That's a great Sunday. Well done.
Yeah.
NFL almost makes up, not quite, for the Sunday that was. Okay, speaking of the Cowboys.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The Cowboys did what the Cowboys do. When the Cowboys win, this is how they're going to win. They get up on you early. They release the hounds. The defense is unstoppable. The offense of the other team starts skewing heavily toward the pass, which plays right into the Cowboys' hands defensively. And the next thing you know, it's 43-20. And frankly, it was worse than 43-20. It was an ass-kicking, and there was some garbage time points by the Rams that made it look better than it was.
There's something to be said, I mean, like with what you're saying. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, Dallas is just the ultimate momentum team. And once they kind of get it rolling, it's like, forget it. It's an avalanche. That's what's amazing. They need to learn how to win the ugly games. That's what I think we need to see more from Dallas. But, I mean, their point differential and some of their wins other than the Chargers game is insane. I mean, it's insane. Dak Prescott played great. We know that. big throws, right? Now, I will say, I think they loosened up and made more big throws because they had a lead, and they were like, hey, let's push the ball down the field. Let's play with this a little bit. This is how explosive the Dallas Cowboys are. It is 10-3, and we sat there early on in the football game, and the Rams were doing some good things on defense. The Cowboys on their first touchdown drive got very fortunate, I thought, with some bad calls that went against the Rams. We went, Rams march right back down. They kick a field goal. Cowboys go on an okay drive, kick a field goal. It's 10-3, right? But here's where the game and the Cowboys just absolutely explode. Stafford throws a bad pick six to Cooper Kupp, right? Which, I mean, like, threw it inside and missed him by 3 or 4 feet. They go 3 and out. I just want to make sure I get this right. They go 3 and out. So, they get the pick six, 17-3. 3 and out. The punt gets blocked. Safety. Now it's 19-3. They kick the ball off after the punt block safety. Turbin returns it all the way down the field to like the 13-yard line, and they score another touchdown 2 plays later. The game was 10-3, and literally 3 minutes of clock time went by, and it was 26-3. That's how explosive Dallas is. And here it is. Deron Bland is a comfortable corner on an island, and he makes plays like this as much as we've seen anybody in football here, Mike. Like, to your point, they just got talent across the board and some playmakers.
It is amazing. They've been without Trayvon Diggs and will be without him the rest of the year, and Bland has been great. He's had, I think, 3 pick sixes this year. The record is 4. He's got half a season to catch it and or beat it. And I look back at the Cowboys' wins, all but one, the Chargers game from a couple of Monday nights ago, or blowouts. When they win, they blow you out. Yeah. When they're in an ugly, close, hard-fought game, when you can withstand the early onslaught, then you can
potentially rush, the chaos, all of that.
They can had. To use the phrase that Jerry Jones used last week about the 49ers, they can be had. The Cowboys can be had if you don't get your ass kicked early. You can hang around, they get a little wobbly, and they don't get loose. They don't that confidence, and hey, this is working, it all works, and the next thing you know, you're done.
When you play the Cowboys, you have to come into the game of a little bit. And because I've had conversations with coaches around this deal, you got to have the frame of mind of going, our offense is actually going to be a little defensive, right? We're not going to let the Cowboys' defense win the game for them and put them in these positions where it's just like one play, touchdown, or pick six, or strip sack, and now we got the ball on the 6-yard line. That's where they're dangerous. And that's where, when I talk to coach friends, they're always, that's their number one concern. I don't want to let their defense get it going, and then it just jump starts their whole football team. And we saw that yesterday with the pick six, and then they just started steamrolling the Rams offensive line, and Micah and company were all over Stafford, and Stafford was getting human abuse as that game went on, and finally just took too many hits and had to check out of the game.
Well, thumb injury that was wrapped heavily. It happened in the second quarter. He was back in the third quarter. What did they do, throwing him a pass? I mean, that's the last guy you do the Philly special with. He's like the Tin Man. And I mean this in a respectful way. He is constantly banged up. He is constantly injured. I suspect he goes home and just puts ice on it and doesn't say anything to anybody. Yeah. But that thumb's the problem. Here he is making the catch and
he's
lunging for the end
SOB
zone.
He is. You're talking
he
about,
is.
Though.
I got a ton of respect for the fact that he will play through anything. He will just keep going. And it had to kill him to not be able to finish that game. But, you know, you got a banged-up thumb, and you're diving for the end zone with the banged-up thumb. So
from Dallas, he wanted to put on a better showing, but, the Cowboys.
We'll return the one game that Christopher David Sims does not want to talk about today. The not-quite-miracle at the Meadowlands, but it was miraculous for the Jets.
It was a miracle.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. You love that, don't
you? Up yours,
okay? Up your butt, Joe Boo. More PFT Live right after this.
The snap clean, the placement down, the kick is up, and the kick hooks to the left, but it's gone! And the Jets win it in overtime, and honestly, I'm not sure how!
One of the ugliest offensive games in recent memory. The Giants, for crying out loud, had -9 passing yards. The Jets win in overtime, 13-10. That kick still didn't look good, but it did pass through. Greg Zuerlein, Greg, as the case may be, barely made that kick. That game was just weird.
Oh, my God.
And you made an excellent point during the
right
break.
There?
Let's go right there.
All right.
The Giants, and I hadn't even thought of this, and I'm disappointed I hadn't thought of it because it's so obvious.
Hey, keep hanging with me. You'll get as smart as me one day, okay?
The Giants should have kicked off to start overtime. There was no friggin' way the Jets were scoring a touchdown. How's it that close? How's it that close? It's a no-brainer.
Right, people have been
the brainwashed. The Jets aren't scoring a touchdown. That's the only way the Giants don't get an opportunity, and if you can hold the Jets short field goal,
right.
You do what the Jets did.
Exactly.
The formula plays out the exact same way. It just plays out in your favor.
I think Brian Daboll, they did an unbelievable job managing the football game yesterday. I mean, the fact that they were winning the game with -9 yards passing in 2023, where the league is set up to basically, like, you're going to get passing yards no matter what, is astounding. So they managed the game. They were tough running the football. Saquon ran tough. And the defense and Wink Martindale were out of this world good. Out of this world good. You know, unfortunately, Graham Gano missing a 35-yard field goal at the end of regulation. He's been great, but he's dealing with a little injury. He's been off this year. He's not. But, yes, as we got into overtime, I sat there. And we were kind of talking to us, and you, I don't know, you might have been maybe talking to somebody in the hallway or whatever, because I did bring it up in the viewing room. And then last night on the podcast, I talked about it, just going, hey, the game was a field position game. Nobody was driving the ball on anybody. It was just like, can we get in field position? Can our defense give us the ball to maybe where we can get one play to get us in field goal range, or maybe just something crazy happens and we actually score a touchdown? I think that's one where the Giants will go back today and go, man, maybe we should have kicked off to start overtime. Like you said, get the ball back, hopefully.
It.
Well, yeah, you explained it the right way. Get the ball back around midfield, and then you hope Saquon can make one run, and now you have an opportunity to kick a field goal to win the football game. I certainly think that can be questioned a little bit.
Tommy DeVito, the name of Joe Pesci's character in Goodfellas, that is actually the name Tommy DeVito. It wasn't his real name, the mobster's real name. It was Tommy, I can't remember the last name. I was just watching the Get Gaudy documentary on Netflix, and they mentioned Tommy.
Oh, the real guy.
Last name.
Okay,
the
gotcha,
real Tommy's gotcha, last gotcha. Name. But Tommy DeVito, because Tyrod Taylor suffered a rib cage injury, taken to the hospital, stayed overnight.
Ooh.
So we'll see how Tyrod's doing. Daniel Jones already out with a neck injury. Tyrod had started 3 straight games in place of Daniel Jones. Tommy DeVito, what can you expect in that
tough
setting
situation.
Against the Jets defense?
Right.
And then, you know, through it all, Gano misses the field goal. 24 seconds left. Oh. Zach Wilson gets them in position. And I asked him, what were you thinking on that play where Alan Lazard pops open and he could have run out of bounds? He said, I wasn't really thinking anything. Like, I'm just running around and I see Alan, and he didn't know how much time was on the clock. He said, typically they want 12 seconds. They had 9 seconds when the play ended. It was a little, I still think it's weird.
It's a big throw right here. We got to let's unpack this.
Yes, yes.
Kayvon Thibodeau going offsides, who played awesome yesterday,
kills the clock.
That gave the Jets a chance. That was a huge moment.
And there's Alan Lazard open, and he gets down to the 17. Tick, 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 tick. Watch the official come in and just touch the ball. They let the center spot it. The official just touched it, which seems very perfunctory to me. Like, why do you even have to touch it if it's spotted in the right place? Why do you have to put your hand on it?
Right.
But he came in. It was shades of the Cowboys 49ers game a couple of years ago in the playoffs where they didn't let the umpire get
that
through.
That got in the way of the referee.
You have
right?
to understand the guy's got to get through to do it.
Right.
He got through. He touched it. They spiked it with 1 second left. And they were able to kick the field goal to force overtime. It really was something.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it really was. It was a heartbreaker as a Giants fan. You felt like we were going to gut it out and find a way to win there. It was ugly, and it was awesome all at the same time. 17 possessions for each team? That is incredible. That's how bad both teams were on offense. It was three plays, punt it. But damn you, Jets, and now I got to hear from all these Jets fans all week.
Some weeks, the NBC game is segment one.
Right.
Some games, the NBC game is segment two. This week, it almost didn't make the show.
We'll talk
a little Chargers-Bears.
Don't we have something else for segment six?
Very little Chargers-Bears next on PFT Live.
For the future.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I didn't do
Wow, the Chargers sticking it to the Bears. Sticking it. 30-13. Who's the idiot that thought the Bears are going to win that game?
Jeez,
damn
it. I don't know. Damn.
That's right. You actually were wavering.
I was wavering. I did. I worried about the Bears being able to run the ball and the Chargers and kind of just making the game slow and chewing up clock and doing that. But no, the Chargers absolutely outclassed them. There's no doubt about that. Chargers, we knew, had more talent. It's just about, can they put it together?
And get are they going to do something to screw everything up?
Right.
Like, and you know, how different the game would have been.
The first play.
That first play, what the hell?
I don't understand.
What's going on? Yeah. I mean, from the officiating to the coaching of Darnell Mooney, get up and run into the end zone. Every player should be told, until you hear those whistles blowing, if you've got the ball in your hands, get your ass to the end zone. Don't stop. Beautiful long throw. Catches it, not touched,
nobody
not
touches
down by
you.
Count
go,
attack.
Run.
Nobody's looking around.
They're letting the play go.
And the
There's
officials
no whistle.
Following it there. But yeah. Then yeah
somebody
saying.
Else blew it because nobody was playing. So.
And the Bears didn't throw a challenge flag. The Bears could have thrown a challenge flag.
And they could have got the ball 30 yards up. They ended up punting the ball three plays after this. Instead, they should have had the ball. Even with this, they could have challenged it. Mooney knocked down, and he runs out of the bounds kind of lazily around like the 18-yard line.
Derwin James comes over, though.
He
would have tackled him.
Right? So he's at – but that was 3 points. And, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, for a young team.
It's something that can change
the game.
Change everything.
Exactly right. Puts a little more pressure on him. Yeah, that was a dropped or missed opportunity by the Bears.
Justin Herbert completed his first 15 passes on the night. He was 31 for 40 in the game. Late in the game, it's like, why is he still in here? With that finger, that middle finger that's just conspicuously wrapped. He was in way too long. You know, you got to keep that guy healthy. And you got to keep this guy healthy, too. Austin Eckler shouldn't have been in there late either, but they just dismantled the Bears. And,
yeah.
And it's a shame because I wanted to see Tyson Bagent have a big night, prime time. Wanted an exciting game. Wanted to be right. I was the only one in the panel that took the Bears, and our friend Big Cat was mad at me because he's a big Bears fan, and he knew that wasn't a clean sweep.
Right.
He wanted the clean sweep.
Yeah.
If it's a clean sweep, then they would have won.
Yeah, sure. Yes, it's all about that.
It's all about us. But we affected the outcome
of the
game.
That's right. That was, you know, just not the kind of style of game the Bears want to play. The Bears, like we said, they wanted to run the ball, get a little bit of an early lead, try to control the clock, make the game ugly. Chargers jumped out on them, and then that made Tyson Bagent and company have to throw the ball way more than they wanted to.
When we return, our 92nd Monday Night Football preview, the Raiders against the kneecap-biting, cannibalistic Detroit Lions. More PFT Live right after this. Monday Night Football, the night before Halloween.
Ooh,
the
spooky.
Raiders and the Detroit Lions. Jimmy Garoppolo, due to play. Does it make a difference?
I think it makes a difference. I do think it adds to the intrigue of the game. Now, what I really worry about is the Raiders' defense in this matchup. They're not super talented. They're well coached, but I worry about them. You know, once Detroit starts to run the ball with a little success, watch out, because then the play action pass and Ben Johnson starts to dial stuff up like that, to where I have a hard time thinking the Raiders' defense is going to stop Detroit on a consistent basis. Garoppolo, though, you know, picking apart that Lions zone defense a little bit, I think it could at least keep it close for a while, but I think the Lions control the game.
The key is, how do the Lions recover from the 38-6 shellacking they took 8 days ago? Their schedule is very soft. They don't have many tough games left. They can win a lot of games. It's that Cowboys game week 17. That's the only one left that you look at and say they may have an issue. They have to go to Dallas for that one. They can really fatten up their schedule when it starts tonight.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what we're going to be saying tomorrow if the Lions would lose this game?
Oh, no, I know. That's where, you know, I would be shocked. With the way they played last week, it's a big bounce-back game. Monday Night Football, show everybody what you got. This Raiders defense, statistically ranked high, they haven't played a good offense all year other than the Bills, and they put up 38 points on them.
They will tonight. Enjoy the game. Yep. Thanks for some of your time. See you Tuesday.
See ya.